Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everyone. Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Sunday. The sun is shining. Well, it is here anyway in the UK. And Arsenal are still top of the Premier League, only by 1 point, because Manchester City went and spoiled the party once again by winning last night after Arsenal's win against Bournemouth. But look, 2 weeks to go, two games to go, and Arsenal are right in the thick of a title race. You can't ask for much more than that. So obviously I did my video yesterday outside the Emirates doing my sort of immediate post-match reaction and my player ratings. I'll go over the player ratings again a little bit later on in today's show. We'll look at the game more in depth, some of the big talking points, what Mikel Arteta's had to say, what some of you guys have had to say in terms of your views on what you saw yesterday against Bournemouth. So let's get cracking. Look, what you saw was a really, really convincing, good Arsenal performance. Three goals, clean sheet, job done. That's all you can really ask at this stage of the season. I thought it was a really good Arsenal performance, actually. Could have been slightly more comfortable had they taken more of the chances that came their way, especially in that first half when I thought they were, well, they were. It wasn't just me thinking it. They were absolutely dominant. I think they had 16 shots. Bournemouth had one. And that was that. But he had to wait until just before half-time for Bukayo Saka to tuck away the penalty. You know, had Arsenal been a bit more clinical in front of goal, or to be fair, there weren't massive missed chances. I think Declan Rice's one, which he sliced wide, was probably the biggest chance that went begging. I thought Bournemouth defended really, really well, and they deserved a lot of credit for that, especially for a team who basically got nothing to play for, and you got that classic cliche of being on the beach. They were throwing themselves in front of shots. They were making block after block. They defended really, really well, Bournemouth, and they frustrated Arsenal. But Saka's penalty on the stroke of halftime opened the game up, and then they went on and won it pretty comfortably after that. So, look, I spoke about the goals and the controversies yesterday in my video after the game. And I said, look, I was watching in the stands. I wasn't in the press box yesterday. I was in my seat. So I didn't have the benefit of replay after replay of being able to see the incidents over and over again. I've watched them properly a lot of times now since I got home yesterday. And I kind of had changed my thinking a little bit over how I view both incidents. I thought at the time, and when Havertz went down for that penalty, that was right in front of where I was sitting in block 19. And the first thing that went through my head was dive. As soon as he did it, I was like, that just didn't look right. It didn't look like it'd been cleaned out. It looked like a dive. And people around me said the same thing. And when it went to VAR, I was thinking this might well get overturned here because that's just what it looked like. And I've watched the replay back a lot of times now. And I think it is a penalty. I think Havertz buys the penalty. It's one of those ones we've seen Harry Kane do 8 million times during his time at Tottenham. When most strikers do, they'll just leave the leg out. It was a little bit different, I thought, to the Saka against Bayern Munich one when Saka kind of thrust his leg in the direction of the goalkeeper. Havertz didn't do that here. He just left his leg on the ground when he was going up, when he went over. So there was contact. He goes down. I think it's a penalty. I think it's soft. Had that been given against Arsenal at the other end, you'd feel a bit aggrieved about it. But you know, the keeper did come out. He didn't get anywhere near the ball, and he did get Havertz. And so, you know, Havertz left his leg there and he felt the contact and he went down. And that's kind of what he said afterwards. So I think that was a penalty, looking at it. And I think, and I've changed my opinion about the goal that was disallowed in the second half for Bournemouth as well. I do actually think that's a foul. I think it's very soft again. And I think you're probably, you know, Arsenal, it could have easily gone against Arsenal, and had the referee not given that on the pitch, I'm not sure VAR overturns it. But when you look at the replays, you know, Solanke's not looking at the ball, and Raya is going to get a very clean punch on the ball until Solanke just basically moves him out of the way. And it makes Raya struggle to be able to get a proper punch on the ball. So I think it probably just about is a foul. Again, I think I'd be disappointed if that goes against Arsenal at the other end, but I don't think I'd have too many complaints over it. So, you know, I don't look at that as a major, major mistake by the referee. I think it was a pretty marginal call that went in Arsenal's favour. So, yeah, that's kind of how I view the two instances. And Arsenal did, you know, they went on to win the game very, very comfortably in the second half. Declan Rice, the absolute star of the show, who I'm going to talk about pretty soon in this video. What a player Declan Rice is. But when you look at the stats, you know, it just shows a very, very convincing Arsenal victory. So expected goals, 3.6 to Arsenal to 0.6 for Bournemouth. 24 shots to Arsenal, 7 for Bournemouth. 9 on target for Arsenal, 2 for Bournemouth, 18 open play shots, just 5 for Bournemouth. You know, it was a dominant performance from Arsenal. I think they played very, very well, especially given the circumstances, given the pressure they're under, the fact they're in a title race. I thought the way they handled it and they performed was really, really good. And this was a, you know, this was a good Arsenal win, make no mistake about it, because I was a little bit worried going into this game, given how decent Bournemouth had been in the Premier League since, well, basically throughout 2024. Mikel was very happy about it. You know, he's asked afterwards about it not being, you know, a straightforward, easy game. And he said, I never expected it to be. We started the game with probably the best first half we've played all season. I think we were unbelievable. We were super composed on the ball, really aggressive about the ball. We generated so many chances and we could have scored 3, 4, or 5 easily, but we didn't. We scored one, and then credit to Bournemouth as well. They changed a few things. They created some issues for us, and the game became a little bit more open. That was something we wanted to avoid, but within that game as well, we've resolved certain situations in the right way, and we were very efficient in front of goal to score the goals and maintain another clean sheet. On it being nervy in the second half, he says, because of the quality of our opponents you play, you have to navigate through those moments. We knew that. If you score 2 or 3 goals in the first half, it's a different game. We didn't, so you better be good at managing those moments. I think on the whole, Arsenal were good at managing those moments. I mean, it was nerve-wracking in the crowd, I'll tell you that, especially at 1-0, and the longer it went 1-0, the sigh of relief when Trossard scored, you could really feel it. Yeah, I'm very glad that goal didn't count straight after that, because that would have been a horrible last 15 minutes to sort of bear through as a fan in the stadium. But, you know, I can understand Arteta being very happy at this stage of the season to win a game like that, to win it as comfortably as he did, to keep another clean sheet. You know, you can't really ask for much more. Okay, I've got to talk about Declan Rice now. I mean, the chant yesterday, well, the chant all season, well, certainly recently, is, you know, Declan Rice, we got him half price. And it's absolutely true. I've said it before, you know, and I know it kind of sounds like a rubbish little soundbite, but it is true. And no, it's tough, because how can you say anyone worth 105 million is a bargain? Because 105 million for a footballer is just such a ridiculously stupid figure that we've all just become sort of numb to now, that that's what footballers cost these days, which is mad. But I mean, he basically is, given his performances and what he produces and how he always fit, he's always available, he can play in multiple positions in the midfield. I mean, he was just so, so good last night. And the way he's improving, the things he's adding to his game. And, you know, I said it at the time when he signed for Arsenal, one of the most exciting things, whenever you spoke to anyone who sort of worked with Declan and sort of watched him progress as he came through at West Ham, they always say the best thing about him is ability to learn and improve season after season, to add new things to his game. And he's just doing that in front of our eyes at the moment, you know, moving from the 6th role into that 8th role, and what he's doing, the goals he's now scoring, the assists he's making, it's absolutely, you know, this is a world-class player we are talking about here, absolute world-class. He's scored 7 goals now and 8 assists in the Premier League this season. That's more, the only sort of midfielders who've got more than that, Cole Palmer, Bruno Fernandes, Martin Odegaard, maybe Phil Foden, if you count Phil Foden, in that. And, you know, for a player who basically arrived at Arsenal kind of being viewed as a holding midfielder who didn't really affect the game in the final third, and then you look at what he's doing now and the way he's affecting pretty much every single game playing in that number 8 role, it just speaks volumes for him as a player and his ability to absorb new information. And, you know, Mikel Arteta's talked about it he talked about it in the build-up to yesterday, in yesterday's game, didn't he, saying how sort of coachable he was. And there's some players who just love to learn and love to improve. And I loved his third goal yesterday. When you watch it and you watch the replays, when Gabriel Jesus has the ball, you can't even see Declan Rice. He's not even in the Bournemouth half. And then you just see out of nowhere and deep into stoppage time, Rice, who has covered pretty much every blade of grass throughout the game already, still has the energy to suddenly make this lung-bursting run from inside his own half to join up with the attack, to be that extra man, and then to score the goal. And who knows, that goal could be so crucial come the end of the season with goal difference. We don't know, but it could be. And he's just added that to his game. And he'll be disappointed he didn't score in the first half. He had a really good opportunity. He admitted it afterwards that, you know, it was a big chance that he should have taken. But he's still just popping up in those positions and showing us new bits to his game. His assist for Leo Trossard as well. Really, really clever play that. You know, if Odegaard does that, or Bruno Fernandes does that, or someone that sort of player, you know, everyone waxes lyrical about it. But this is Declan Rice doing it. You know, and he's just 105 million. You could not have spent that money any better. It's just a fantastic, fantastic piece of business for Arsenal. Man of the match again yesterday, and just a genuine world-class operator in the heart of midfield, which the most exciting thing is he's only going to get better as well. He's just going to keep improving. He really, really is just a wonderful player.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When I look at it as well with Declan, the more I see him and the more I'm watching his performances, the more I'm thinking, you know what, he's a eight, he's not a six. He can play a six and he can play the six brilliantly. But I look at him and how I just think how much he's developing and he can continue to develop. I just think he's going to turn into an eight. I honestly think Arsenal are going to end up signing number six this summer rather than number eight. Because I'm just not sure you want Declan just... I almost feel like he'd be a little bit wasted sitting there just as a six and not getting in the final third as much. So... obviously, you can play him there if you want to, which is great. And it adds versatility to the squad, which you all know is so key to Mikel Arteta and how he's built this squad. But yeah, I think long term, for me, I think Arsenal needs to be targeting a number six, long term number six. And then you can play Declan as the left eight. But let me know your thoughts on that. I'd be interested to know your thoughts on it. And yeah, golden glove for David Raya. So we spoke about that. Mikel was speaking about it after the game. He said, "I'm really pleased. It's a huge success for the team in this league to achieve that with a few games to go still, with the numbers we are producing. It gives us huge foundation to be closer to winning titles and winning trophies. The contribution of everybody, including David, obviously, is really good." Yeah, brilliant for David Raya in his first season at Arsenal, considering he missed a few games as well. You know, he missed the opening, he replaced Ramsey after, was it three games this season or four games? He's also missed the two games against Brentford where he wasn't allowed to play. And yet he's still got the golden glove with a couple of games to go. You know, brilliant for him. But it's not just about David Raya, obviously. You know, he doesn't, for him as a goalkeeper, the best thing is he doesn't actually have to make that many saves because his defence in front of him and the midfield in front of him are so good. And that was the same again yesterday. But when he did need to make a save, like early in the second half when Solanke went through on the left-hand side, he was there to make the save and to protect his clean sheet. So, yeah, fantastic for him and deserves all the credit he's getting, but also the centre-backs, I think, in front of him and the midfield, to be fair, deserve it as well. Okay, so player ratings time. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because obviously I did a video yesterday outside the ground talking about it, which you can go and see. It's down below, or listen to it in your podcast if you're listening to this rather than watching. So I'll go through them. David Raya gave us 7 in goal. Ben White, 7. Saliba, 8. Gabriel, 7. Tomiyasu, 8. I thought Tommy played really, really well. It was just really... I watched him a lot. In the first half, he was obviously coming right down past me where we were sitting. And then in the second half, he's just so strong in the air every time the ball came in. I thought it was a good performance from Tomiyasu. I think he's playing really, really well at the moment, having come in at left back. So fair play to him. 8 p.m. Saliba, a couple of brilliant moments from Saliba. What a player. That's just an unbelievable, unbelievable player. Thomas Partey, I thought, played very, very well. I think he only misplaced 3 passes all game. Played the full 90 minutes, which is fantastic. I think that I saw someone saying that's the first time he's played 90 minutes this season since that Crystal Palace game, the second game of the season at Selhurst Park. So to see Thomas getting through and playing 90 minutes and looking fit and looking healthy and getting up, you know, box to box at times, could have scored, probably feel like he should have scored at times, you know, really good to see. So I thought it was a good performance from Thomas, gave him a 7. Odegaard, I thought, was brilliant. You know, it's one of those games, again, you look at the end of it and you think there's no goal, there's no assist. And you just feel that's just really harsh on him because he played so, so well. Obviously, it was his through ball, which was a fantastic ball to win the penalty when Havertz went around the goalkeeper. He's just his work ethic. He's just a wonderful footballer, Martin Odegaard. So I gave him an 8. Declan Rice, my man of the match, with a 9 out of 10 performance from him. Brilliant. Trossard, another huge goal for him in such a key moment of the season. Gave him an 8. I thought he's, especially in the first half, Trossard went out of the game a little bit in the second half, but he still popped up with that goal. But I thought in the first half, he was really, really good. Havertz was superb. I just love watching Kai Havertz play at the moment. He is an at proper number 9. You're watching a real top quality number 9 operating at the head of Arsenal's attack at the moment. It's just superb yesterday. He really, really was. For the players around him, he must be an absolute dream to play against in this in this sort of form. So I gave him an 8, and Saka, I gave a 7. Really good pressure penalty from Bukayo Saka at a crucial moment. I mean, must have been going through his mind, how essential it was to score that goal after such a 45 minutes of utter dominance. He would have known if he'd have missed that and Arsenal had gone in level at the halftime, anything could have happened in that second half, and he took it really nicely. Loving the sort of calm way he takes his penalties now. He's just watching the goalkeeper a lot more than he used to, seeing which way he goes and then rolling it in the other direction. Obviously, 2 subs yesterday. Gabriel Jesus came on, got the assist. Really clever play from him. And Gabby Martinelli came on as well. Just the 2 subs from Arteta. Of course, Manchester City, as I said at the start, this went and kind of ruined the party a little bit by doing what Manchester City do. So Arsenal winning 3-0 at home. And City still managed to close the goal difference by 1 by thumping Wolves 5-1 with that man, Erling Haaland, scoring 4 goals for them. So move back within 1 point of Arsenal. They've got 3 games to play, of course. Arsenal just have the 2. Fulham next for Man City, then the Spurs game, and then West Ham. So 3 London clubs. Can any of the London clubs do Arsenal a favour? Doubtful, I have to say. But Arsenal can just do what they can do. It's what I've been saying for the last few videos. Just win and see what happens. At least make Manchester City win it. Don't throw it away. Don't do something silly. Obviously, they've got a really huge game coming up at Manchester United next weekend that they have to win. I think they're playing second next weekend, so they're going to know already by that point, by kickoff, what Manchester City have done that in that match against Fulham. And so it adds a little bit of different sort of pressure to what Arsenal have been playing under the last couple of weeks when they've been the team going first. So, yeah, look, it's looking unlikely. I've said it for a while. I don't see where City drop points, but you never know. It's football. You just never know. So you've just got to keep winning and hope someone can do you a favour. Alex Iwobi, we're all going to be with you, Alex Iwobi, next weekend. Do something special. Or Willian, you know, all is forgiven, Willian. Stick one in the top corner and you'll be an Arsenal legend for years to come. Okay, moving on to some of your questions and comments before we wrap things up today. Couple here. Gent Next Door says, Trossard reminds me of Lundberg, has the habit of moments. Freddie always scored big goals. Absolutely. And another one there below from Jati, it looks like. Great catching up with you and Tom at the Tollington. Yeah, great to see everyone at the Tollington yesterday. So many people came up and said hello. It was fantastic. Everyone in good mood, obviously, having a few beers. Ran into Andrew Johnson, Andrew Beef Johnson. If any of you are golf fans out there, Beef was in the... Tolly yesterday. I got a picture of him, which made my day. What a legend. And you also say that Leo keeps on reminding me of Freddie in our 2002 run. What are your thoughts? Absolutely. Look, Freddie in that 2002 run was just every single game he was popping up and scoring the crucial goal, with Dennis normally supplying the through ball, the assist as well. And Trossard's doing that at the moment. There was a question not so long ago. Someone said, who do you think could be our Lundberg this season? And I think I might have said Trossard. You'd always felt like he was going to have a big say over this run in Trossard, because he is Arsenal's best finisher. There's no doubt about that. When you get a big chance, you want it to fall to Leo, and he's doing it at the moment. And Alan underneath says, Charles, need to talk about the former Martinelli. As the last few games, he's been one-on-one with the keeper and he misses. No wonder his second choice to Trossard. What's your views? Yeah, my views are just on he's not in the greatest of form at the moment. I think confidence is low for him. He obviously knows he's behind Trossard in the pecking order at the moment, which might be pretty tough for him to take. And he's just not sharp. He's not playing that many minutes. He hasn't scored many goals. And so he's not sharp. I'm not worried about it. I think next season he'll be fine. He'll be great. I think he'll have a good preseason have a summer off. And, you know, all players have little moments where they're not that sharp and they haven't got that confidence. And when you're not a regular starter, which Martinelli isn't at the moment, it's hard to get that sharpness back. So, yeah, I think he's definitely off it a little bit at the moment, but it's not something I'm overly concerned about, especially when you've got Leo coming in and doing what he's doing at the moment. Couple of ones from you guys now on the sort of controversial incidents yesterday. Guna72 says the Havertz penalty was a penalty. It was a bit soft, but the Bournemouth keeper went to ground early, sold himself and caught Kai's trailing lead. Should their goal have stood? Yes, I think so, as I didn't see much wrong of it, to be honest. Christie should have been sent off due to that horrific challenge on Saka. This is the third game in a row where Arsenal players have been extremely lucky not to have very serious leg injuries. Yeah, I didn't even notice that at the time in the stand. I mean, I was on the other side of the pitch. I only saw it last night when I got in, and I saw the injury to Saka when he showed off the sort of gash that had come out of his shin. And yeah, it was a really nasty one. Another one that when you sort of compare it to what Fabio Vieira got sent off for earlier on in the season for Arsenal, and players seem to be getting sent off for those sort of challenges at the start of the season. Now they seem to be getting away with it week after week, and I don't really get it. Sea Lord says, thanks for the great content as ever, Charles. Thank you. On the disallowed goal, the difference between this and what White does is that Raya gets knocked while going for the ball. White doesn't do it. White always done it early before the keeper can go for the ball and then gets out of the six-yard box. I think fouls like this, when the keeper is clearly going on the ball, as soft as they seem, are always going to be given. Remember Trossard's disallowed goal away Leicester last season? Yeah, that's when White was holding the keeper's hand, wasn't he? I agree. Like I said, having watched the replays again, I think Solanke is not doing anything but trying to put Raya off. And Raya, if he doesn't do it, Raya gets a really clean punch on the ball. But because of what Solanke does, and he moves him out of the way without going for the ball, he's not challenging, I think it probably is just about a foul. And lastly, a couple here. One from Luca says, for me, two things are becoming clear of each game. Declan Rice is our starting left eight number. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kai Havertz is a proper starting number nine for the club. I think given their splendid performances, that's the framework the club ought to keep on their minds when approaching the market. It's hard to deny them to in those positions just work. And one from Dax says, hi, Charles, always enjoy your videos. It was a decent game and the result is all that matters. I've been wondering, when was the last time we've scored from a direct free kick? Do you think that's something that we're missing in this team? Don't get me wrong, our set pieces have been amazing this season, but I can't remember a player taking a shot and scoring directly from a free kick. This is really interesting. I was talking about this to my dad yesterday while watching. We had a free kick about 25 yards out and I stood there as he was about to take it. I think Odegaard and Rice were over it. And I thought, when was the last time we scored a direct free kick? And I might be wrong, and I haven't researched it, and I probably, someone's going to point out in the comments below that I am wrong. But in my mind, I keep thinking the last time was probably Odegaard's free kick at Burnley, which was like 2021, I think. It was just after like Ramsdale, when everyone had signed, wasn't it? And Arsenal had started winning after the three defeats at the start of the season. And then they went at Burnley on about the fifth game, and Odegaard curled one into the top corner, Arsenal won 1-0. I can't remember one since then. There might have been, so please do let me know in the comments below if there have been. But yeah, it's certainly something that maybe Arsenal do need to work on a little bit, because good players who technically can take really good set pieces, you know, even Declan Rice, someone like that. So surely it's not going to be too much longer till we see a direct goal from a free kick. But yeah, it was a good shout, Dax. And I was just thought it was quite interesting, because I was thinking the exact same thing yesterday. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you for your time, as always, whether you're watching or listening to this. Appreciate it. And yeah, have a fantastic Sunday. Enjoy the sunshine if you're over here in the UK or wherever you are in the world. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Until then, bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.